Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, we celebrate the start of the football season. It is a little over a week away, and I guess the college season actually starts Thursday, tonight. So we'll talk about tailgating, about cocktails, things like that. Really be a kind of a fun, different sort of Oxford Crystal Beer Garden today. Greg Jones of LB's Meat Market will join us to talk food, obviously. And then Jonathan Howard, our bartender extraordinaire. You see his drink of the week every week in 10 Weekend Thoughts. He will join us to talk cocktails and parties and that kind of thing. We'll get to that in a minute. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. It's Highway 6 West in Oxford, just next to the Oxford Exxon. Right now, I've been telling you about this for a while. It's still worth noting. Mix 5 for 5 includes the spicy chick sandwich. It's fantastic. You can get regular chicken. You can get spicy chicken. I like the spicy. The spicier, the better for me. Different people are different ways. You can shake up your combo for just $1 and add a hand-spun shake, Oreo, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, all there at the Oxford Crystal. They still have the chick sunriser combo. Now it's available in original or spicy. So all of that's there at the Oxford Crystal. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. And it's no hassle. It's right to the bottom line. It's so easy. Get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can shop it around if you'd like. If that'd make you feel better, that's cool. You're going to end up coming back to Clark Ford, and you're going to end up letting Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many listeners of our family of podcasts, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. So simple. Again, right to the bottom line. And then at the end of the deal, save yourself $500. Say, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden, or you can mention the Oxford Exxon podcast. Either one, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. The podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or those who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. The podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. Community Mortgage is 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All the underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you are getting local underwriting that understands your market. Community Mortgage, is also the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. So without further ado, let's get to our first interview. Let's talk some cocktails and such with Jonathan Howard, our Nashville-based RebelGrove.com bartender extraordinaire. Here's Jonathan. All right, Jonathan. Good to have you back with us. It's you've almost survived the summer. Football season is right around the corner. I know you've been busy on the bar competition circuit. The last time we talked to you, you'd just gotten back from I think Vegas or San Diego?
Yeah, Vegas.
Vegas. And yeah. I think you had one more to go.
Yeah, I did. I went to San Diego to compete in the world-class national final, which is sort of the pinnacle of our profession in terms of competitions and stuff like that. And I did really well considering that, I got married the week before and I was opening a massive hotel at that time. And I put in about, an hour and a half total of prep, which was not my normal amount. And I still somehow managed top four, which is really exciting. And they've all encouraged me greatly to come back and try again next year. So, yeah, I'm putting it down. I think I'll do world class next year and I'm going to hang it up after that and just kind of focus on, running my own, the bar I just took over in Nashville and, the new wife and all that.
So tell me about Henley.
Henley is an American style brasserie. We have a James Beard award winning chef, RJ Cooper, who is using, as many local farmers as he possibly can. So the menu changes so often. I think it's a sixth or seventh menu, and we've been open for about 2 months because we get more deliveries from farmers in like big Tupperware containers and Ziploc containers than we do like US Foods or Sysco or any of those sort of like companies. So everything changes so rapidly, which is exciting for me on the bar side because, every week the chef comes out and just throws me this thing that I maybe have never even seen or played with. He goes, "Can you use this?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." So it's actually keeping me really busy on the creative side of the bar. And the bar is, it's a really beautiful space. It's a really beautiful area. We've got about 12 drinks now. We're going to move up to about 20 drinks all in, by end of November, once I get a couple other things in place. And getting all this local produce and stuff has just helped me in developing things. Plus, we're doing a lot of buying right now. I think we have 5 or 6 whiskeys that are single barrels of large producers that are singular and just ours, where I'll go up to the distillery and taste out of the barrel and pick which barrel I want. Then we will buy the entire barrel. And it's something that it's a unique whiskey that nobody else can buy. So, we're a strong whiskey focused beer with bar with lots of cocktails and, local drafts. So it's pretty cool. And it's really, 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 really beautiful.
That is cool. I'm curious because I'll let you in on a little something with me that I'm always writing in my head because that's just what I do.
Yeah.
And, I'll catch myself waking up in the middle of the night, like to grab some water or whatever. And, I'll think of something I want to write, and on the times that I'll jot a note down at 2:30 in the morning, I'll remember it. If I don't, I inevitably forget it. And then the other place that I catch myself writing a lot, like in my head, is in the shower.
Yeah.
Is there a place for you where you catch yourself?
I have a lot of notes on my phone, like just like, on the notes app, I have an entire just like drinks folder where I just throw down ideas or this, that, and the other. And I keep my phone actually, I bring it into the bathroom when I shower, because as soon as I get out of the shower, if I have thought of something, I want to jot it down really fast. Cause I've always got to be, I've always got to see like, what have I put in my head and can I put that down? Or if I forget it and I'll try to go make a drink, it's like, oh damn it, I thought of this thing. And I sit there at the bar trying to figure out what I thought and I can't remember it. And that's really frustrating. I'm 100%. I'm always like, if I go to a restaurant, I'll look at the menu. Oh, wow, that's a really cool idea. I had a really great dinner at a restaurant called Treehouse 2 nights ago with my wife. And there was something I wrote down. I don't even remember what I wrote down, but I remember like during the course of that meal, writing something down because it was very, very intriguing to me. But no, I completely get what you're saying.
All right. You're in Nashville. You've been there for a while. Did you get Predators fever?
You know what? Even as a New York Rangers fan, it was hard not to. It was really hard not to. This whole city kind of lit up. It reminded me of the 2003 Ole Miss run up to the LSU game. Just that buzz that was in that city. That's when I was in Oxford. Just like the buzz that was around that game and that whole season. That's what it felt like in Nashville for like 10 to 12 days. It was really freaking exciting. I mean, it was really cool.
Yeah, it really was. It was just, I'm not a big hockey fan. I've never had a team. You know, I grew up in Louisiana, for God's sake. I mean,
right.
Hockey wasn't part of our it wasn't part of my lexicon. It wasn't part of my world. But hockey, it was just kind of fun to watch that run that they had. Did you get out and see the eclipse? Because you guys were right there in totality.
I did. Actually, yes. We at the hotel, we have an 8-floor pool bar that is only for guests and residents, because there's a residence side to our building. And they were like, hey, we think you should work the pool bar because it's going to be insane. And I was like, okay, great. And they actually, you know, we closed the bar for 10 minutes so we could go out and see it. It was impressive. A friend of mine actually has a panoramic photo of Nashville. He was on a rooftop on like the 23rd floor somewhere. And he has a panoramic rooftop of what it looked like in Nashville during the total coverage. And it looked like it was 9 o'clock at night. And the most surreal thing was that this event happens and you can look up at it and it's gorgeous and it's unlike anything you've ever seen. And it's dark and you're like, man. And literally 10 minutes later, it was 95 degrees and just blazing hot sun. Cause it actually, the temperature dropped, I mean, drastically, yeah. Almost instantaneously where we were. And then it just went right back up. It was very surreal, and it's something I'm really excited. I actually got to like go out and see, cause I know myself, and had I not done that, I probably would have just been in an office somewhere working.
Yeah. I'm almost kind of mad at myself because, you know, Chase made fun of me a little bit because I kind of got into it, but where we were in Oxford, it was 91.9% and it didn't get dark. It just changed. It's like you put a filter over the atmosphere.
Right.
It kind of got, just, I don't know, not it was unlike anything I'd ever seen before, but it wasn't, it wasn't the great experience that people had in when they had totality.
It was surreal. It was surreal. And it was a really cool time for Nashville too. Cause you could also feel that same general thing. You know, we had they estimated it was 1 million people that came to the city of Nashville for the totality.
Yeah, that's
absurd.
All right, it's football season, so let's talk. Let's kind of. I did this with Greg Jones. People that are listening, you'll hear Greg's interview in just a little bit, where we talk some food. Let's talk drinks in the. Let's start here. Let's say people are coming. They're coming to the Grove, or their tailgating place of choice. They're gonna bring the typical stuff, but they also want to have something different. But it's got to be something that they can kind of maybe pre-make, or something that'll be simple to make there. In the Grove where there's lots of people and you want to visit and all that stuff. You don't want to spend the entire time bartending, but you want to have something different. What are kind of some thoughts you have?
My first thought is punch. Punch is something that predates, like, it's in the colonial era, it was a very big deal. They're very strong because they're not really diluted. But make punch. Like, take your favorite spirit, get some lemon juice, some lime juice, some level of sweetener, whether it be sugar or agave nectar or, hell, brown sugar or maple syrup, whatever you know. And then you cut that with tea. You make tea. It could be Earl Grey, chamomile, jasmine, mint, whatever. And you just kind of build that together. You chill it overnight. So put it all together, chill it overnight in your refrigerator, and then just put it in one of those spigoted glass containers or plastic containers you see everywhere for like water service.
Yeah.
And you carry that damn thing in the Grove. They'll have no idea what it is. You haven't brought any liquor bottles in. You can just carry the damn thing. And long as you put ice on it, it'll be cold, refreshing, and delicious all day.
It does sound good. It sounds good right now.
The main one I try to have people make, it's called a whiskey smash punch. And the whiskey smash is lemon, mint, sugar, and whiskey. So you take, two parts whiskey, if you have a liter bottle that's 32 ounces roughly, if you have a 750 milliliter bottle that's 25 ounces. And then you just add about 0.75 to the two parts of lemon juice and simple syrup, which is equal parts sugar to water. And then you cut it with equal parts of the base spirit, 32 or 25 ounces, to mint tea. And you have what is a whiskey smash. And you just blend it all up, make it nice, make the tea really strong, and just put it in your fridge overnight. The next day, just slice up some lemons into like into wheels, not like wedges. Throw that on top. Throw in like, you know, get some of those ice molds, so some bigger ice blocks in it. It's freaking refreshing and delicious, and tastes like the Kentucky Derby.
God, that does sound really good. All right, what?
Yeah, man.
What whiskey would you recommend for that? Because obviously you're not you know, you're not using $100 bottle.
No. I mean, stuff like that. Hell, Maker's Mark is always really good. It's got a high sugar content compared to the rest, which makes it just like take on some of those sweeter, more aromatic flavors easier. Another one is if you can find like Evan Williams Single Barrel, which is a really good bottle for about $33-$34. That's fantastic whiskey for that drink as well. Or Belle Meade from here in Nashville, man, that stuff has really started to grow on me. One of the barrels we bought at Henley is a Belle Meade Single Barrel, and it sits about 98 proof, which is a little higher than their normal baseline. But man, that baseline is really good for drinks.
I got the Belle Meade just on a whim the other day. It was actually in Oxford, the Belle Meade, where it was finished in the sherry
cask. Oh, the sherry cask one? Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was, when I first tried it, I wasn't sure I liked it because it was such a different taste.
Right.
That after a little while, I was like, oh, I really do like this, but it just took a little while.
Yeah, because yeah, it's different. And the cognac finish that they have it's rather expensive, but it is probably my favorite finished whiskey in the world. It's fantastic. I mean, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I don't think I've had that one.
I've had
a couple of theirs though that I really like. There's one that you can get in Nashville. It's just, I think it's just kind of their basic whiskey. It's a $33 bottle, and it delivers. It's fantastic.
It's won double gold at the San Francisco International Spirits Competition for the last 4 years. It's really good whiskey, and it's great for that drink too.
What are some of the we're kind of jumping around because I'm curious now. We're on the whiskey topic. At Henley, what are some of the whiskeys that you catch yourself using the most?
Well, we use a lot of George Dickel, the number 12, actually. You know, for our Tennessee option, we're in Tennessee. We want to use a lot of the local stuff. We have a house barrel that we picked of Russell's Reserve, which sits at about 110 proof, which we use in some drinks. It's a little hot, but people really enjoy it. You know, like I said, the Belle Meade. And then we grab Rittenhouse rye probably more than any other rye that we carry. I mean, it just is, it's the go-to rye for any cocktail because it's, you know, ryes are not as rich as bourbons. They're a little spicier. They're not as sweet. But they do. It's a robust one that just cuts through any of those like syrups and sugars and herbs and other liqueurs and stuff, and really helps the rye stand out. So, I mean, those are the ones that we probably, I say, go through the absolute most. Some of the ones that we have been just pouring, like the Old Forester 1920, is something that we've been going through a lot of bottles of that people just want on ice.
Okay, so we talked about Punch.
Yep.
What else? What would be something else you'd recommend for a tailgating experience?
Shandies, man. Like I put it, like the drink of the week, like a shandy. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's something so simple. You can get some store bought lemonade, whatever type you like. Throw, for me, it's like either rum or dark rum or whiskey with a little bit of lemonade, and you top it with, you know, if you want something brighter, like a wheat beer or a saison, if you want to get real fancy. Or you like something a little bitter, you throw an IPA on it. Or you can do something really rich with like a brown, and it just becomes this really just like cool, refreshing beer cocktail that you can just make in three easy steps without, you know, having to pull out a shaker and a tin and all that crazy stuff. And then another one is a drink called a Paloma, which I think I put on Drink of the Week, which is extremely simple. It's just tequila, a dash of salt, and a squeeze of a lime wedge, and then you just top that whole thing with grapefruit soda. And I mean Squirt or Jarritos or any of those style of grapefruit sodas. It's super refreshing, really, really delicious, and also something that's very easy to make in the Grove.
Yeah, you did you did put the
Paloma. Yeah, I thought I put the Paloma on.
About 2 weeks ago, I think. It looked great.
Yeah, it's so easy.
What's the... What's kind of your go-to? You talked about some of the drafts and stuff. What's some of your go-to beers that you like on maybe a hot day?
I'm a big fan of just crisp and refreshing. So like, I like well-made pilsners. I think the Tiny Bomb Pilsner from Memphis,
yeah, it's
the
good.
Weizsäcker Tiny Bomb Pilsner is something really I just good. Love drinking that beer. I'm also not afraid to say that I don't mind fruit in my beer. Some people look at me like it's like I'm a lesser human, but Scheinerbach makes a grapefruit called Ruby Redbird, which is freaking delicious. And I've never met anyone that doesn't enjoy a beet of strawberry on a hot day. So, you know, I'm not afraid of, you know, that kind of like lighter, refreshing beer. If I'm at a beer bar or something, and I want to try something different. If there's like a local saison or something, I think Yellowhammer out of Huntsville, Alabama makes a really delicious saison. They even had one year that they finished in a Chardonnay barrel that was just fantastic. But, you know, I just like lighter, brighter things. I'm not the biggest IPA fan. I just, you know, bitter on bitter just isn't a thing for me. I also, you know, have a very strong feeling that, you know, the benchmarks in brewing are kind of like the benchmarks in drink making, in that, like, you know, you can't hide behind a pilsner. Pilsner's got to be clean, crisp, refreshing, and balanced, just like a lot of drinks. So IPA is like, I can find deficiencies in brewing because they're hiding behind the bitterness and the hops. And so I like to go for those just lighter, brighter, you know, more refreshing flavors.
Okay, so we covered the Grove.
Yep.
Now there's going to be a lot of people starting next weekend that, you know, they say, hey, it's too hot, or I'm saving for another weekend, or I'm going to wait and can come for conference play or whatnot. And it's a holiday weekend. I think it's Labor Day weekend. And
yeah,
Labor Day weekend, people have an extra day to recover. and so they're at home, maybe stuff's going on, and it's Saturday night, and they got Ole Miss and South Alabama on one screen, and maybe Alabama and Florida State on another. You're having a party at the house. I know that you love to bartend, but you know, let's say that, you know, this is a day when, hey, I want to do some things ahead. I want to make it simple where I get to hang out with my friends. I get to watch the game as well. I know some of the ideas you just gave would also work at home. What are some, if you're doing it at home, you're not having to fight the robo cops and the heat. what are some ideas you have?
Here's a really fun one I actually did at an event the other day. So, you know, take a watermelon, cut the watermelon into like 2-inch by 2-inch squares, cubes. Then just overnight, sit the watermelon in your, you know, say whiskey, some sugar, a little more watermelon juice if you can mash up the remnants from what you've, you know, done. And some lemon juice or some lime juice, and just sit them in that for about 6 hours. Put it in, you know, if you're one of those people who has one of those vacuum sealers, vacuum seal it. If not, it doesn't matter. Put it in a Ziploc bag, whatever. And then just let it sit in the fridge for about 6 hours, I guess. Take it out, make sure that there's nothing else, and then freeze it. Then pour your whiskey just over this piece of watermelon. And what's going to happen is at the beginning, it's just going to become relatively cold whiskey. But as the game goes on, or as the drink happens, you're going to start to get the sugar. You're going to start to get a little more whiskey. You're going to start to get some of the acid. And you've just created a cocktail that sort of kind of time releases. So you won't get bored of what you're drinking, because it's going to change with every minute that goes by.
That does sound good.
Yeah, it's great, man. I did a vacuum sealed compression of stuff and used it for this store event, so I didn't have to shake or strain anything.
That'd be something that somebody like me, who's not a trained bartender, could do.
Absolutely, it's so simple. Literally, you just kind of make the cocktail with watermelon juice, and you sit your watermelon in it. Make sure it's completely covered on all sides so it soaks in. You know, getting as much air out of the Ziploc bag as you can, and then just freeze it. And then it'll do that exact thing, because all of those flavors have frozen, they've soaked into the watermelon, and then they're going to freeze in, and then as it dilutes, because it's warming up, you're going to dump, as it dilutes, all of those things into the drink. So, you know, the longer you have it, the more sweeter it gets and stuff. And then by the end, you can just eat the watermelon, which is another sort of dessert of a cocktail on its own.
What are some wines, like some brands that, you know, you're entertaining, you want to have some wines around? Is there a brand or two that you catch yourself migrating to lately that's kind of affordable that you like the quality of?
Yeah, there's Andrew Murray. We actually serve his wines in kegs currently at the bar. But he makes a really, really great rosé, makes a really good Syrah, and he also makes a really nice Sauvignon Blanc that I've kind of just like made my home wine as well. Then Ken Wright Underwood. No, this is sorry. Underwood is canned wine. They're like 375 half bottles of wine, but they're in cans, and they're just refreshing. It's a rosé, a Pinot Noir, and a Pinot Gris. It's from Oregon. It's made with Oregon grapes. And I honestly keep a lot of those in the fridge as well, just because you can just pop a can of wine and just drink it. It's great.
What else was I going to ask you? In terms of like food pairing a little bit, for even stuff like you know, typical party foods, like, you know, you have maybe you're doing sliders or you're doing wings, you know, sausage dogs, stuff like that, sausage and cheese trays. Is it as simple as just drink what you like with stuff like that, or are there specific pairings that come to mind with things like that? Or
with me, it's just if you're doing like sliders, which are greasy, and wings, which are going to be like fried and saucy and rich, and dogs, which are going to have so much stuff on them. I've always been a fan of doing something, you know, lighter and brighter to just like cleanse the palate, because that's going to A, make your drink more impactful, and B, when you have another bite, your palate has then sort of reset, so you're going to enjoy the richness and the, you know, all of what's going on with the next bite. So, you know, high acid white wines, if you're a white wine drinker, you know, pilsners or, you know, saisons, wheat beers are really good as well, you know, for that kind of thing if you're a beer drinker. And then for cocktails, you know, Tom Collins, Whiskey Smash, daiquiris, you know, all of those style of like sours, sour delineation of drinks, that's just going to like help with the high amount of acid to coat everything. So again, you're getting more out of your drink and you're getting more out of everybody, your food.
Well, Jonathan, as always, man, it's fun to catch up with you. I know that I think the overwhelming majority of the readers of 10 Weekends Thoughts, they skip 1 through 8 and get straight to number 9 week after week. And I don't blame them, because usually by the time I finish number 8, I'm ready for a drink of the week. So,
well, yeah.
It's been a lot of fun working with you. I look forward to seeing you in Nashville again soon. And if you get down this way, man, make sure you hit us up.
Oh, I will. I'll be down there eventually. And I think I'm going to put a punch on the drink of the week this week. I think it'll be a good follow-up for everybody and kind of give them some ideas of what they can do.
Yeah, that'll be great. Look forward to it. All right, thanks, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, thanks, brother.
Bye. Our thanks to Jonathan for his time today. We'll get to Greg Jones in just a minute. First, let me tell you about Strategic Partners in Media. SPM is a full-service advertising and public relations firm doing business throughout the country. SPM works with companies of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to local startups. They have a simple logic. They find a way to tell a story about their client that captivates an audience that will eventually do business with their client. SPM focuses first and foremost on developing a winning and unique strategy for their clients, whether that is through creating and implementing an aggressive digital and social media plan, producing a captivating television advertisement, or crafting a corporate communications plan to get any business through good or bad times. SPM always finds the right path forward. SPM mastered their craft in the rough and tough political advertising world. They bring to the table decades of advertising experience, plus a unique perspective to advertising and a tireless work ethic rooted in their days of nonstop campaigns. To reach them, email austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. The podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, it's still snapper and cobia that are the most popular trips to take, but you're running out of time for snapper. The snapper season in Memphis, Mississippi waters, I should say, runs through Labor Day. So get in touch with John. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is the inshore trips. For speckled trout, forgive me, and triple tail, which is sometimes called blackfish, you can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast is also brought to you by LB's. You're going to hear from Greg Jones in just a second. It's 2008 University Avenue in Oxford. Greg's phone number, 662-259-2999. You're going to want to call it after you hear this interview. I use LB's all the time. It may be my favorite place in Oxford. It's fantastic. Fresh cut sausages. You'll hear Greg talk about it in a minute. So without further ado, let's go to Greg Jones of LB's Meat Market here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. All right, Greg, thanks so much for joining us. This time the audio is actually working.
That's always good to check the audio and make sure it works.
I've got it hooked up correctly. So we're good to go. I guess we'll start with this because I'm gonna throw some kudos your way. I was in the other day, got some steaks. I got the bone-in ribeye, and I've gotten it before, but blown away at how good it was. Just the quality of meats and stuff there at LB's, man, it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, that's why we're going on 10 years now. We're going on our 10-year anniversary coming up, and I mean that's what you come in and to get at LB's is a good steak, you know, so and good product. So that's why we're open.
You have the food truck. I know it's either already going or it's about to get going. What's the status there, and what can people look for?
So yesterday it went in for the paint job. So we will have that. I think it should be ready in the next week or so. Got a schedule worked out for it. We're going to be late night with the Yacht and a Taco truck on probably Friday and Saturday nights. Thursday, Friday, Saturday night over there at the Jones Furniture Store across from Funky's. As far as food, I mean, the sky's the limit on what we can do. You know, I own a meat market, so, I mean, but we've established ourselves as, you know, a really, really good chicken bacon ranch. We can get you do a Philly cheesesteak. We're thinking about doing some Rotel cheese fries. We've got a snow cone machine. We've got a funnel cake. The sky's the limit on the menu. So we're excited about it. I mean, this is about a 2-year thing in the making for the food truck. And, you know, you just the timing's right and everything, the moon and the stars are aligned. So, yeah, we're it's just a part of the business plan. You know, I want LB's to, you know, like you said, come in and get really good quality meat and fresh sausages made in house and that sort of thing. And then, you know, we also have a food truck that goes along with it. So, yeah, man, it's all coming together and we're really excited about it.
A reminder to people when you go into to LB's, there's the beer fridge on the left. There's get a six-pack. I did it just the other day. Make sure you say at the register, hey, I heard about LB's on the beer garden. You save yourself $2 to $3 just for that. Five seconds of words saves you $2.50 to $3. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I've got about, I counted over there. Like, we got about 20 different types right now. So it's a little small cooler, but there's a lot of different flavors over there that you can treat yourself to.
Yeah, a lot of different Oktoberfest flavors as we start.
Yeah, just came in with those.
Yeah, starting to fantasize about the fall a little bit. The temperatures dropping.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with this heat. It's getting awkward whenever it's 96 degrees. So,
yeah, I'm summered up.
Ready for some fall football and, you know, ready to get this thing going.
I love the summer, and then when the kids go back to school, I'm summered out. I'm
yeah, ready. Absolutely, especially in Oxford, Mississippi. Good Lord.
Okay, so let's talk. First, I want to ask you this because you talk about the food truck. Do you ever watch the show on Food Network, The Great American Truck Race or whatever, with Tyler Florence?
You know, it's funny. My mom literally came in at work the other day and asked me that same question. And I don't have cable, so with that being said, I've watched it before, but I've watched the seasons, you know, that are on Netflix and stuff. But no, I've heard I like it. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's one of my little guilty pleasures. It comes on Sunday nights, and I just kind of dig it. I don't know why they're doing it in the South this year. They were in New Orleans for the first episode, and I think they were driving to Pensacola for the second. So I don't know. That made it even more.
Yeah, I watch them just to get ideas. You know, because there's so many different types of food trucks that are out there that can be done. So I mostly watch it for ideas for our food truck.
Okay, let's talk. Let's talk some tailgating. It's as we tape this, it's Wednesday morning. The season a week and a half away. People are going to be rolling into the Grove in 10 days. Looks like the weather is going to be about as good as you could ask for, considering it's the Deep South, the first weekend of September. Highs in the mid-80s, could be a lot worse. Lows that night dropping into the 60s. Very small chance of rain, so... that's probably about as good as you could have dialed up for September the 2nd in Mississippi.
For sure.
For people that are going to the Grove, they're going to take food with them. It's going to be a big day, first time back in the Grove in a while. They're not lighting up a grill in the Grove. They're taking food. What are some ideas that you have, to make it different, to make it unique, but to be able to actually enjoy yourself when you get there?
Yeah, well, obviously the main go-to is, you know, chicken, fried chicken tenders. I mean, just because it's easy, you can grab it, you know, that sort of thing. But, I mean, we don't do anything fried. So, I mean, like stuff like duck poppers where you can just put in the oven, literally just put in the oven, bake it, and the bacon doesn't go anywhere, you know, crumbles up on it, stays into form. You can put that on a little tray. Those are easy. Jalapeno poppers, you know, stuffed mushrooms, sausage and cheese tray, just a little. You can do sliders also, but as far as from LB's, we're just doing basic sausage and cheese trays. It's hard for me to compete in the catering business, you know, because we're more of a kind of a you come in and get your dinner and sort of thing. So as far as unique stuff, I mean, those duck poppers, I mean, you wouldn't they stay warm, you know. You don't, like, a lot of things trouble you get into with like dips and stuff is like you have to keep dips cold, you know. And so I would we basically going to do sausage and cheese trays, sliders. Duck poppers are good. Jalapeno poppers are good. You can do like maybe do some grilled chicken breasts and that sort of thing. But as far as catering for from LB's, you know, just a solid sausage and cheese trays is our standard go-to.
What sausages do you use for those?
Okay, so most, of course, everybody wants to do like the chicken spinach feta and the flying pig and the spicy bacon and the ribeye sausage. So you have to cook those. So what we do on our sausage and cheese tray is the smoked pork sausage, and that's what Ajax uses on their sausage and cheese tray. So it's just our basic smoked pork. You can do the summer sausage is really good, so you can do a variety. We also do a smoked chicken jalapeno. So you can do like the smoked pork, a chicken jalapeno, and summer sausage and literally have three different types of sausages on a sausage and cheese tray. But I recommend the smoked sausages because they're already cooked. You can eat them cold. They're really easy to slice, and you don't have to cook them. So that's what we use on our sausage and cheese trays.
I guess for maybe the people from out of town, they can't maybe they're not gonna run by LB's. If it was just you setting up your own tailgate in the Grove, what are some, you know, maybe you don't want to do the fried chicken. Maybe you're trying to avoid fried food for health reasons and stuff.
For sure.
You know, what are some other ideas that you could cook ahead that would be easy to transfer?
Yeah, well, I mean, if LB's was setting up a food tent in the Grove, it would be a long line because everybody would be best friend in the world because, I mean, we would do, it would basically just be a bunch of grilled free-range chicken breasts that we do. We got a couple different seasonings there. We'll do duck poppers. We'll probably do a sausage and cheese tray, maybe some stuffed mushrooms. We've got over 20 different types of sausages, so the sky's the limit on, you know, the different types of sausages that we can provide. Little steak bites, maybe, you know, just literally like cook a whole ribeye and, you know, slice it into where just people can, you know, come by and grab a slice of New York strip or ribeye or filet. But yeah, it'd be really, really fancy. I mean, I'd have to put chandeliers in there and all sorts of things. It'd be really nice.
there will be a lot of people who obviously can't make it to every game. So maybe it's this Saturday, the first Saturday of the season. They're not going to get to Oxford. The game's at 6:30. They're going to have it on one screen. They're going to have Alabama, Florida State on another, that kind of thing. You know how this works. You can have a bunch of people over for a football party, and you end up cooking the whole night, and you never see a play.
Absolutely.
So you're. What are some just kind of some tips that you have for people that maybe they're throwing a football party, and they want it to be different. They don't want it to just be cold cuts or whatnot. But they at the same time they want to get done in time to visit with their friends and also see some of the games.
Well, I would go the sausage route. Literally get, you know, all the smoked sausages that we already have. Those are already cooked. You can go ahead and cut those up. People can snack on those. And then you could go out and maybe get probably five or six different types of our fresh sausage, put it on the grill. I mean, it just depends on how hot your grill is. Those take about 10, 15 minutes. But, yeah. I mean, you know, not everybody wants to go to a sausage party, but I would recommend a sausage party. I mean, you know, just a bunch of different types of sausages, chicken sausage, pork sausage, beef sausage. You can also, those jalapeno poppers and stuff, just put them in the oven. And literally, they just cook in the oven. They, you know, you don't have to put them on the grill. They cook perfectly throughout the oven. You can set those. Those only take about 10, you're just cooking the bacon, so that takes about 10, 15 minutes. So, you know, different types of sausages, a lot of different types of jalapeno poppers and duck poppers and stuff like that. I mean, that you're looking at maybe 30-minute cooking time on everything, and literally you can be done and then turn around and sit down on the couch and enjoy your beverage and watch the game.
That ribeye sausage is...
Yeah, that's what I recommend. You know, of course you want to do, you know, everybody would want to do like ribeyes and steaks and fillets and that sort of thing. But, you know, not everybody likes, I mean, there's always one or two in the crowd that loves cooking and getting behind the grill, you know, but there's always not some of those people that want to cook. So, you know, I would just go the sausage route.
That ribeye sausage is illegal. I don't know if anybody's come to get you yet, but. That's
yeah, man. I've had a couple people knocking at the door and ask me where I get it from, and I'm like, man, we make it here, and they're just like shocked that we make it. So
it is fantastic.
So, that chicken spinach feta is really good, also, and that flying pig's awesome, also. So yeah, we got some good products up here, and that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're open.
Okay, you mentioned the sausage party. Any other thoughts stick out? You were telling me last night you had some ideas.
You know, as far as other than the sausage party, man, I mean, you can do so many things. I mean, all you gotta do is open the door at LB's, and there it's almost like the golden gates opening up, you know, and the angels singing. You can just come and get whatever you want, really. You can do we've got some fresh shrimp that came in today. You could do, you know, some shrimp cocktails and grilled shrimp. Getting some, there's a lot of options. I would probably go, you know, maybe we've got filet burgers and smoky bacon burgers ready to go. All you got to do is throw those on the grill. You can do burgers also. But yeah, there's a lot of options you can go with. But as far as the LB's, thing, I would probably go sausage route and, you know, duck poppers and that sort of thing.
The jalapeno poppers, how long do they take? You said about 15 minutes. What temperature do you?
It just depends on how hot your oven gets. I mean, what I usually do is do like 325 to 350 range. I mean, I like 325 for like 10 minutes and then put it on low broil to kind of crispen up the bacon a little bit for about for 5 minutes. So 10 to 15 minutes at the most. It just depends on how hot your oven gets. But same thing with the duck poppers. Literally, I do it in a skillet. Place them in the skillet, sear the bacon for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then put them in the oven and bake them and broil them for about 10 to 15 minutes. They're good to go also.
When college football season rolls around, are you still as into Hull City as you are?
Yeah, I'm totally committed on the Hull City, man. It's a hard job to do, but somebody's got to do it. But yes, We're pretty bad right now. But other than that, yes, I'm ready for football. But yes, I'm definitely going to be ready for the Grove to get here and you see some Shea Patterson throw some touchdowns to all these stud wide receivers that we have, and you know, hopefully the defense shows up and you know, we win some football games. I'm excited about this year. You know, it's just hopefully the NCAA is officially ended their eight-year hiatus in Oxford, and you know, we can get on with our lives.
Before we let you go, so people coming into town here these first couple of weekends, if they want to get food from you, do they need to call ahead? What's the game day?
Well, you know, like? Not everybody knows that, you know, the square is just jam-packed and reservations take an hour to an hour and a half and that sort of thing. If you want to, call LB's before on Thursday. And if you know for sure that you're going to be cooking steaks, just I literally will give you a 10% discount on your order. I'll have your name on your order ready to go. Say, for example, like, you know for sure you're going to need about 6 fillets or in 3 ribeyes. I mean, that helps me out with my inventory because I'm trying my best, you know, with what I got. So if I know a bunch of orders ahead of time, it's, you know, it's great because I can adjust my inventory for random, you know, walk-in customers, you know, that, you know, just come in and be like, oh, there's a meat market over there. So it helps me out whenever I know about orders. But, yeah, call in on Thursday because I get orders on Thursdays and Mondays. So it just helps out just because you don't have to wait in line. You can just walk in and say, hey, I'm here to pick up the order. All you got to do is, you know, you can either pay for it over phone or you can just walk in with credit card and you just exchange. And that way, you know, you're on your way in no time. So, but, yeah, I'm going to be running some specials. We've got 8-ounce filet for $15, a 6-ounce filet for $10. We're going to try to do kind of like a – I mean, I'm not trying to beat the square, but it's just kind of like a dinner deal. You can get an 8-ounce filet and a 6-ounce filet, a twice baked potato, bacon wrapped asparagus, the jalapeno popper, and stuffed mushrooms. I mean, you literally can get all that for under $40. So, you know, it's just it's what we're trying to do is we're trying to, you know, help out our customers on you know, not going out and spending money, you know, out to eat every other day, you know. So. But yeah, that's just what we do over here at LB's. You know, we provide a really good product, and that's why we're open.
Well, we're glad the season's here. We'll keep up with everything as the year goes along, and I'll be telling people about LB's every week here on the Beer Garden. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, man, appreciate you, and always thanks for the interview, and y'all enjoy the rest of y'all's football season.
All right, talk to you soon. Our thanks to Greg for his time today on the Beer Garden. We'll be back with another Beer Garden tomorrow. I've been promising you a baseball Beer Garden. It's coming. Ben Ingram, the voice of the Atlanta Braves, one of the voices of the Atlanta Braves, will join us. We'll talk about the Braves, but we'll talk a lot about baseball. Pennant races, some of the storylines, that kind of thing. Just a baseball podcast as we get closer to September and the final stretch drives throughout baseball, all the different races, who's hot, which injuries matter, what might happen in September, things like that. We'll get all of that with Ben Ingram. But today, thanks to Jonathan Howard, thanks to Greg Jones, thanks to all of you for listening, thanks to our sponsors, and thanks to the Oxford Crystal, Ben Craddock, and everyone there for their belief in our podcast. We appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow.